In this episode, you'll learn the one mistake that could ruin your chance to relocate with your child.
Welcome to Women Winning Divorce, the podcast helping successful women navigate divorce with dignity so you can protect yourself, your children, and your assets. I'm Heather Quick, founding attorney at Florida Women's Law Group, where women win at life.
This week, we had Anna Gerstein on the show, and we had a great conversation about what it really takes to relocate with your child legally, how to prepare, prove, and protect your relocation case, and what happens when things go wrong or weren't done right from the start. I hope this episode is valuable to anyone who might be listening. Stay tuned for the full episode. Welcome to this week's episode of Women Winning Divorce. I'm Heather Quick, owner and attorney at Florida Women's Law Group. Today, Anna Gerstein is joining us. Anna is the managing partner here at Florida Women's Law Group and has been working alongside me for over 10 years now. Today, Anna and I will be discussing what it really takes to relocate with your child legally, how to prepare, prove, and protect your relocation case, and what happens when things go wrong or weren't done right from the start. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, good to be here again.
Well, we are so happy to have you. And once again, I know you've been on the show before, but it's been a little bit.
Yeah.
So for our listeners, would you share a little bit about yourself and how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, absolutely. I've always wanted to be a lawyer, but I've also always wanted specifically to be a divorce lawyer. I went to law school just to become a divorce lawyer. I interned with judges and law firms during law school that concentrated in family law and practiced in family law. And that's how I met Heather when I was in law school and have been working with Heather doing only family law ever since then. I continue to believe that's the best field. You get to meet so many different people. You get to help so many different situations. You get to you just get to talk to different people all the time as well, whereas I feel like a lot of other types of area of law, you're just doing paperwork and it's never as fun. There's always something interesting going on every single day in family law, and I can't imagine doing anything else.
Well, agreed. And we're so happy to have you. And for our listeners, Anna is an amazing litigator, attorney, strategist. She's super smart, and we're so happy to have her on our team. And one of the things we're talking about today, the thing we are talking about is relocation, because it's really can be very challenging, but we've always really worked hard to help our clients be successful at this. So why don't you share with our listeners, what is relocation?
Yeah, so relocation, it means a change of your location of where you were primarily residing at the time of the last agreement, final judgment, order, or if you're just now starting a divorce or a paternity action, just from your current location. So it literally means you're moving from your current home that was either previously established or your current home prior to establishing some sort of a lawsuit.
And so with relocation, because like I remember when this became a law, because I've been a lawyer for so long now, and I thought at first, like, that kind of stinks, right, for the mom who wants to move, because like my mom did that. We were down in St. Pete, and she's like, don't tell your dad. Like, we're moving back home to Jacksonville, which is where they're both from. But anyway, and she was worried, like, the power dynamic or whatever. So I've always thought, wow, that is going to make it harder. But I understand, and I know that's part of why we're, talking about this today, because, and we'll get into it later, because if you just go, good idea, it's so much harder. You make it so much harder for your lawyers and really on you and your children.
Yeah.
If you just go. So let's talk about that. How do you do it the right way? Like, is there a way to do it without lawyers? I don't know.
I mean, everything is possible, but the problem is you don't know what you don't know. You don't know how the other side's going to react and when they're going to react, right? I've had tons of cases where my clients have already moved and and they were like, because they verbally talked to the dad or they verbally talked to their former husband and everything was so good and all grand. But then later he changed his mind. And because there was a lot of things that were not done based on statute and the law, they could file and they could bring them back here, back in Florida. So yes, a lot of things can go wrong. And, you know, just to clarify too, it's not, this isn't just like going down the road to like, you know, from Duval to probably like even St. Augustine. This is 50 miles too. That's another big thing. It's a big, there's a distance requirement. It's 50 miles from that residence. And not for temporary things, you know, people go out of town for the summer. It's permanent. This is like you are moving permanently out of that home where you previously were residing. So it's 50 miles from that specific location. So it's a big gap. I mean, 50 miles is, it could be very, it's a large distance. So that if you have already relocated and then you're going to have to come back, it's not going to be, and you didn't do it the right way, it's going to be worse. It's going to be really hard. You're going to have to change everything again.
And let's, you know, because you said the example, maybe, you know, your ex said you could. Ladies, or listeners, like, that's not good enough. Good. That is not good enough. Like, it has to be in writing. And it really, the statute's very specific.
Yes.
And you know, going to court saying he said we could is really not going to be your greatest defense in this. And so you need more than yes, he said yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In order that. And so let's talk about this because, one, I'm glad you brought up the 50 miles. And, you know, that's not always on Google Maps. It's like how the crow flies. And so if you're going to be close, again, you need to talk to a lawyer at least about it. Even if you think he's in agreement, okay, let's get things lined up.
Yeah.
Because, Anna, let's talk about what needs to happen for relocation to be considered.
You mentioned one of the main things. It has to be in writing. So it has to be in writing between the two of you. And a lot of times, you know, I mean, like, it's your ex-spouse. It's your, you know, it's the dad of your child that you guys had. Your relationship might be okay-ish enough to where you talk in person. But everybody knows that when people say in person, then they completely change when it comes back to writing. Or when you come back and like try to re-verify something, everyone has experienced like, wait, that's not really what we discussed. Like, how did you misunderstand that? So that's where that it has to be in writing. There has to be certain things included as part of that writing. It can't just be like, sure, you can move. No, we have to where, you know, yes, you can move to, you know, Maryland and, you know, this is going to be what we're going to do for visitation. This is going to be what we're going to, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be included in those types of like exchanges and emails or messages or whatever you have between the two of you that you're doing to make sure that if he changes his mind later, that whatever you did agree to can be enforceable. So this is where it becomes very, 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 it's very technical. And if something's missing, you don't have it, the court could make you come back.
Right, which again is going to, and the battle, like, you know, we've told many, many clients over the years, right, if you'd come to us in the beginning, it's still going to be a time-consuming financial investment, but let us evaluate and try to get it done the right way. And if you try to do it on yourself and then we have to fix it, it's going to just be at least twice as much, if not three times as much. And we might not be able to because now you're starting at a point that could be bad. The court's like, you just left and you didn't get consent with your ex-husband. You know, a lot of times the judges look really badly on you for doing that.
Yeah. Most relocation cases occur after there's already a final judgment that's been entered. Right. So like those, I would say there, obviously there's a ton from the initial get-go, but you know, those I find less likely to have the errors of the, you know, post-judgment issues because those get in front because they have to still get a divorce. They still have to get ahead on all of that. These people have already been divorced. Now, every parenting plan, almost every single one is going to have a provision in there regarding not being able to relocate. So when you do relocate, the courts are going to hold you to that. That is a court order, and you have failed to follow that court order, they will bring you back. So yes, it is way tougher to go backwards than it is to start from the start. When you're trying to relocate, it's that one for sure, because the court can consider your unwillingness to follow a prior court order whether or not they're going to grant you to relocate again.
All right, so let's talk about the age of your children. Does that matter? How does that differ? And I know, and for our listeners, These cases are so fact specific.
Yeah.
So this is, and we tell you this all the time, like, hey, I know your best friend got this deal. It's going to be different. But like this one is really, really going to be so specific in your case. Mm-hmm. And your attorney, we're going to ask you so many questions in order to figure out if we think this can work. But let's talk about the age of your children, because, I mean, that is going to be a factor.
I mean, you know, you have a one-year-old versus like a 12-year-old, for example. A 12-year-old obviously can probably fly without a parent, so it makes maybe transportation a little bit easier versus a one-year-old. So that means you're always going to have to, there's going to be a bigger financial obligation for transportation purposes when there is a one-year-old versus a 12-year-old. The preference part of it still is not that, it's not like the make or break it factor, right? My 12-year-old, you know, we're so close to each other, you know, that's, you know, so, you know, that's why we want to relocate. It's not going to be, it's never going to be the primary factor ever. I think the difference in the age when it comes to relocation, it really just comes from the, on the financial part of it. It comes on how can time sharing continue to be effectuated with the father.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, a one-year-old that, you know, moves to Maryland and now you're in Florida, for example, that makes it real tough to continue, you know, a very good type of visitation schedule versus a 12-year-old, you know, he can be here for the whole summer, you know, for example, if you relocate or something like that. So that makes it a little bit, it makes it a little bit easier in terms of it, but it does, it is not a make it or break it factor at all.
Yeah, and let's talk a little bit about that, and I'm probably just totally jumping ahead, but I think it's important for our listeners because the current schedule they have, and more likely than not, going to be very different, a one-year-old, you know, versus a 12-year-old, but the current arrangement schedule that they have with their father, that is a big deal. That's going to, you got to look at how that's going to be impacted.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody has 50%, you know, if they have 50-50, which, you know, that is the standard that the courts are looking at now, and the dad's exercising it, you know, so let me say that, like, it's actually being exercised because, you know, if they're not exercising it, that makes things a lot easier. But if they're actually exercising that 50-50 schedule, how is it going to be in that child's best interest to leave a parent that they're visiting with 50% of the time to relocate to a completely different area? That would absolutely impact a 50-50 time sharing schedule, because you can't, again, if you're going to be down the street in St. Augustine, you know, in Jacksonville, maybe that's, you know, that's not going to be as impactful. It's 45 minutes, an hour drive. It's not going to be that impactful. 50-50 likely could still continue, especially if a child's not school aged. I think that should, you know, that shouldn't be an issue. But when you're talking about you continue to live and remain in Jacksonville, but somebody else moves to North Carolina, you can't do 50-50. How are you going to do 50-50? It's you can't. A child can't have two different schools, two different daycare. It's just, you can't do that. So it is absolutely something to look at to determine how it's going to impact the visitation. And the courts take that into they take that into consideration a lot, because it is the primary factor. It's got to be in the child's best interest to relocate, not the parent, not the person who wants to relocate, not the mom that wants to relocate with the child.
Well, let's talk about that, because that is so, you know, we try to say, oh, you know, if mom's good, everybody's good, but it doesn't work that way, right, in the court system.
I wish.
So I know, right? Let's talk about how the move is going to enhance the, you know, maybe the quality of life for the mother, but it has to be the child too, right?
Yes.
Like, it's a better job, more money. You know, a lot of times I feel like some of the strongest arguments are the family support and extended family. Not that they take the place of the father, but in many cases that can be very persuasive to help. That, but we got to talk about, like, how do we prove that it's going to be better for the child?
There's, like you said, it's so fact specific. Every single case, I don't think I've ever had a similar relocation case, you know, even like former case law that you pull up. There's never a case where you're like, oh, this one matches mine so well. Absolutely not. Never. They're so fact specific. But for, like you mentioned briefly, like more money, maybe there's a job. Maybe, you know, the mom got an amazing job out of state that's going to provide more ability for that child to be placed in, you know, camp. camps. Maybe there's medical reasons. Maybe there's a ton of medical expenses for that child and the costs are piling up for both mom and dad, right? So, I mean, it's going to be, but there's the doctors are better out there. That's where all of the doctors are, for example, if there's something very specific that is like health related. So yes, of course, mom making more money is great for mom, but how does that benefit the child? So there has to be that direct correlation. You can't just be like, well, I'm going to get a better paying job. Well, that's great. But what difference does that make to that child's relationship with the father? You know, so you have to kind of, it's got to be correlated. Family support is a really big one. So like, you know, I've had cases where dad travels a lot. Yeah, he's got a lot of time sharing. Yes, he does see the child a lot. He follows the schedule to the best he can. He does make up time sharing, you know, as they work it out, but there's no family. So mom is constantly taking off time off work. She's been fired from jobs for taking too much. She's been having to take PTO unpaid because she's not, you know, not paid time off anymore. I mean, she's taking time off and not getting paid. That's impacting, you know, that's impactful, you know, and then, you know, but, and dad can't contribute anymore financially. They're both stretched very thin. There's nobody else they can hire. That's something that, you know, the court can look at for, you know, as well. School systems, you know, I mean, sometimes the schools just don't work out where the kid is and they just don't work out for what the child might need. But then again, how do you prove that, right? It can't just be like, well, he's in a B plus rated school, but I can go to, I don't know, Washington State and I can go to an A rated school. Well, there's other A rated schools in Florida that don't have to include that move. But what else is there besides that school system? Is there some sort of specific educational need for that? You know, you can get, you know, there's educational psychologists that kind of evaluate certain things. What is it? It's so fact specific. And again, it's gotta, you have to show and you have to prove how it's going to benefit the child to have this move.
Which is, it's challenging, you know, right? Because you've got to think about it in those terms when we're delivering proof. Mm-hmm. So how can our clients be well prepared for this kind
of
thing?
Attorney. Like they, that's you number know, one. Yes. Get an attorney. That's your first thing, you know. I mean, if you're unsure and, you know, and depending on your relationship with your former spouse, the dad of the child, what, you know, I mean, you can, you know, you could try to feel them out a little bit, but be careful because, again, if you are, you might give away too much information or too little information, and then that might make them want to file for something because they're getting prepared. So you have to be careful. You might not want to do that. You know? So I would always say, talk to an attorney first. Talk to them. I mean, just have that consult, you know, have that meeting, strategize, you know, again, be prepared to tell that attorney, what do we need? These are the reasons, you know, this is the kind of relationship that he has, that our child has with the dad. This is the kind of relationship I have with the dad. Here are the things that the dad might say and reasons why I should not, you know, go, you know, so there's got to be, I mean, like, you have to get that information. You have to get ahead of it. Do people consent to relocations? Of course. I mean, you know, but then again, like we talked about already, if they're going to consent, at least get that attorney to be able to draft that perfect agreement that you will never be pulled back to Florida again. If they change their mind, you know, a month later or something, you know, you gotta get prepared. But I think that the best way to be prepared is to meet with an attorney to talk about all the details and what must be done on both ends. Because once you do know all the details and what you must do and how to write it and how to make sure it's phrased, if he consents, it's wonderful, you know, but get it all at once. Because I'm telling you right now, if my clients don't get something right off the bat altogether, it's impossible to get the entire agreement later on almost. It's almost like if you don't do it right off the bat and get all the information immediately, you're very unlikely that you're going to get something from him a different time because and he's going to want something else. And then he's going to be like, I changed my mind about that. So it's
now, what do you think about, like, I know in the past, I would always, we ask our clients, just when we're getting to know them and they hire us, you know, like, well, where's your family? Because a lot of people end up in Jacksonville. They didn't start here or they, you know what I mean? Yep. And I think it's an important question. And especially if, say, they are coming to us for an original divorce. And I know we talked about this many years ago, but I didn't think that that was a good idea to do it in the original divorce. But you really did.
I did.
You thought, like, that's the time. You still feel that way?
That is the time. Because I think it's a lot harder to reestablish it later once you have that established again. And I mean, I wish that every single client who has a parenting plan, the dad follows through and the relationship is wonderful and there's no issues, right? But I'm thinking more, and those are the ones that are, those become harder, right? But I do, I think that it's, you know, if you want to do it from the start, you think about it now, let's strategize how it's going to benefit you now and you do it from the start. because it's before you get reestablished. It's before this child gets even older. It's before that there's that actual big separation. And now we can plan it from, we can kind of plan it from before versus kind of going back at it afterwards. Now, again, you could do it both ways, obviously. I mean, some people are not ready to move. I mean, I think that some people need time. They need to figure out, like, do I need to get my foot, you know, do I get my footing here? Do I get a job? You know, it's my kids have friends here. And again, that's where it becomes really, like, age dependent, too.
Yeah.
But it's absolutely something to discuss with your attorney so you know what your rights are. Absolutely.
And oftentimes, there's more on the table in an original divorce, so there's more leverage, there's more opportunity to, and you, you know, come to an agreement, maybe a settlement on that and be able to relocate then versus later. Because that's something that, right, we're attorneys, we're always going to talk to you about. Like, what's in it for him? And what are you willing to give to get him to agree? If that's within the realm of it. Because most people want to know, what's in it for me? Like, why would he sign that? And you got to think about that.
I agree. No, I agree with that.
Now, what do you think is the ideal situation for relocating?
God, this one's so hard. So if I had, let me think if I've had this, and I've never had a case like this because it's impossible to have that perfect case that just walking through the door. I would say a original divorce. Dad travels all the time for work. Never around, constantly out of town, and not like because he wants, you know, that's his earning capacity, you know, that's what he does for work, you know, he still could be a good dad or, you know, whatever, but still travels all the time, so makes it very difficult. No family here in Jacksonville, no support system, mom doesn't have a job, so they're going to get a divorce, and now dad's traveling all the time, he's supposed to support everybody, essentially, until she's able to get on her feet, or is she even going to be able to make enough money, like no vocational training, you know, something like that. Younger child, so not extremely established in 10,000 activities, extracurricular, you know, school, every single school club or whatnot. I would say that would be my ideal situation to have a client with those types of facts walk in. Which are very rare. I mean, like, I don't think I've ever in all of my years doing it and the years of seeing other people trying to come back with the relocation or other attorneys or even, you know, any, I don't think that's ever happened.
No, I think some of the family can be very beneficial because usually, you know, hey, they are when they provide support in a, just even emotional support and having the connection. And often what I have seen is that, you know, neither side's family is here, but yet both of the other side's family, say, is in South Carolina or North Carolina. So you can make that argument that, hey, not only mom's parents and siblings and cousins are here, so are dads. So now that's a really good one. And
everybody's there. We go visit all the time. The kids already have an established friendships. All their cousins live there. We actually,
and then when the dad comes to visit, dad would have a place to stay. Because again, we got to think about that. Like, I think, and that kind of gets to the next thing about like flying and the distance. And I will say, ladies, that's a big issue because one, is it a lot of time in the car that is sometimes, right? Like, especially here in Jacksonville, we're not in a hub. So, and you know, you got to get to the airport and fly and drive, but all that. But like, if somebody's like 5 hours away, you know, I mean, then how often is your child in the car and for what period of time?
Right.
How that's a lot that I think could go against you versus
how impactful is that for that child?
If there's easy flying or right, as you as the parent, are you willing to fly with them down there and then go stay in a hotel or whatever and then come back? I mean, it's a lot of logistics that we go through. We talk about all that because you really have to try to make it more palpable and really facilitate, like over, you know, reaching and overdoing it on what you're offering to do to make sure that the father has time with the child. Because I think that is the big on the forefront.
The transportation part of it is huge because, I mean, it's, well, you're moving, so you should be the one, you know, paying for this. Well, that's not always the fact, and the court's not going to make you be the only one to pay. It's okay. We have to analyze it all from all aspects. I mean, it is going to change anything. It's going to change child support because child support guidelines are able to take into account, and the court is able to deviate based on certain factors like transportation necessary to effectuate timesharing. They are able to do that. But yes, some airlines don't don't even allow certain age kids to fly. I mean, there's so many.
No, I don't think you can. If you have, it has to be a direct flight.
And that's, so, yeah, you have to pay. You have to pay extra to have somebody accompany the kid too. The logistics on, the air travel is crazy. And like you said too, we're not a hub. I've had so many clients who've, you know, have to travel to Orlando to be able to fly out the kid. But, I mean, that's 2 hours for the child, and the child flies another 3 hours, you know, for somewhere. And then the parent is now driving back another 2 hours back home. And then they have to do the same thing when they come back to get the child.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I mean, it's yeah, that one's a big, that's a big fact.
It is a lot. And that's when you really look at ways to be creative and helpful. Like, how can you make it better? Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, for our listeners, and some people are like, man, we left that place because we don't want to be near family, but I want to go over here, right? It's like, okay, well, we may not be able to, you know,
I just want to live. I just in California, you know.
I just want to be in California, right? And then it's like such a flight, but right, there are a lot of, but, and I use the family one a lot because that we've been more successful when that is something that works in your favor, mm-hmm. for sure. But then you can get help. Right. If part of the big thing is dad's not here enough and I need more help, maybe then grandparents or aunts and uncles can facilitate with some of that transportation. And that can go a long way, whether it's, you know, meeting in the car or just helping you with, you know, getting them to the airport. Maybe they're like, I'm retired. I'll fly down there with them. I don't care, you know.
And that's big. That saves costs for everybody, right? So the retired grandparent, I'll watch the kids. You guys don't have to pay for daycare. I mean, that saves costs both ways to both parents, and they can use the cost towards something else, like being able to do, you know, to effectuate the time sharing. But this does go. I mean, it is, family is not everything. I mean, you got, you know, I want to, again, like, it's got to, there's, it's, what is the effect it's going to have on the dad visiting with that child? Because nothing beats 50-50, right? That's the presumption. So what is, how is my time, how am I going to continue to have the exact same relationship with this child as I have right now with you?
It's going
to
be so hard because you really, like, technology is great. But if you have, if you're in a situation where it's a true, you know, week on, week off, and your child is doing well, and it's a good relationship, and there have been several cases like that where, you know, we consult and strategize. And we're like, I don't think it's worth it. I don't think you have enough to tip the scales, even though we never know for sure.
Yeah.
We work really hard to try to pull as many facts. Even though it's the greatest job in the world, it may not work. And sometimes some women I know have said, okay, well, I'm going to go. And then let's negotiate with him so he has the child full time if he's not going to let me go. And sometimes they do that depending, you know, your child's like a junior in high school or something or sophomore. Okay, you're like, you know what? They're not, I'm not going to move them, but this is too good of an opportunity. And I share that with women because I don't want you to think like that your life has to stop or your career. There's a lot of options. And that's why, you know, we talked about talking with an attorney because let's map out a bunch of different things. But, you know, for some of you listening, you might be like, well, that's crazy. I would never leave my child. Then it's like, well, okay. Like, then that you just might have to wait the few years and then, you know, hope you can still get that job. Or maybe there's more, you do more travel when, you know, your child is with the father. And, you know, ideally in cases where, right, it's a great relationship. They can hopefully be supportive of you and be a little bit flexible so that you can do that. And I know that's not the case with everyone, but like those are important things that, you know, you need to talk to your lawyer about for sure.
Absolutely. I agree 100% wholeheartedly. Again, just because the two of you get along in the moment that you agree to something, again, like I said, it does not mean that it's going to stay and it's going to stick and it's going to be upheld in court too. So, please, please, please talk to a lawyer.
Now let's talk about, okay, so for any of our listeners who maybe already left, they're like, you know, and they're playing, they're like, I didn't know. All right. So let's talk about that because I think for many of our listeners, they're like, I just feel like it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Yeah. Well,
and now we're talking about the court system. Some, it's the opposite.
The opposite really. When it comes yeah. to this. Yeah. Not yeah. here. Not here. Especially if you already have an established parenting plan. If you have if you already have an established parenting plan, like I mentioned briefly before, there is going to be a relocation provision in there that is going to say you cannot relocate without doing this. And if you do, the court will make you come back. And that is the consequence. Because then if you do relocate without another court order or a written agreement that meets all the qualifications that the courts and the statute agree meet the qualification, the court can make the child come back. Mm-hmm. Now, again, you're likely coming back with the child because you left with the child, but that means you're going to have to come back. You're going to have to quit your job. You're going to have to terminate your lease. You're going to have to come and move back here until there's a final resolution on whether or not you're able to relocate out of state with that child. The court could, there's a chance the court could say no.
Mm-hmm. And there's a very likely chance that the court will say no, because I think they will really use that against you. And, you know,
if you can't follow, say, well, the judge, order.
Like they're going to look at that behavior. It is extremely relevant to what is going on exactly in the fact that you had a prior order.
Yes.
And so it's just really, and it's just so expensive, because now usually there's emergency orders. And that's when, like, I say that because, you know, when you can at least plan it out, right? Like, it's a financial investment if you're going to have to litigate a case. But when things are getting thrown at you, like emergency orders or an order to pick up your child, and now you are defending, and you're probably going to have to defend in two different states for a period of time and maybe fight, like, it's usually not worth it to just go and try to ask later, like, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't know. We both advise against that. Yeah. Very much.
The I don't know method does not work when you have a court order and it's written in there.
It does not.
I didn't understand. It does not work. It does not work. So you it can't. Does not work. It is. No. It does not work.
No, it's not the right thing to do. Now, let's talk a little bit about how do you coach your clients to be patient through this? Because this is a tough one.
So relocation is one of the toughest things to litigate. So I've always, you know, that's from the start. I mean, you have to have those expectations. You set those up. We talk about the timeline. Now, in certain situations, there is a temporary request for a relocation. So you can ask the court to consider to allow you and the child to relocate in the middle of the pending lawsuit, essentially, on the final relocation. But that's also very difficult to get. But it happens. It definitely happens, you know. But again, like I said, some of those facts have got to be that, you know, there's got to be some really good facts for that temporary to really work out. So, I mean, the courts, there are timelines and statutes that say that. But if the courts don't have availability to get you in, they can't get you in. If there's not an availability within 30 days, you're not getting it. A final trial, that could take almost a year to get to. Mm-hmm. If you've got a job that is waiting for you, that you've accepted without talking to an attorney, like, that could affect you. Even that you can't do it. I mean, so it takes a long time. The thing that you can do is, obviously, you know, I always try to keep my clients in the loop as far as, well, this is the timeline that this judge is specifically scheduling on right now. Okay. So let's file this. We can get this temporary scheduled, you know, and try it on a temporary basis to see if it'll work out. Especially if you've got really, really good facts to allow for this temporary relocation to occur. If the judge denies it on a temporary, you still can try it on a permanent, but it's less likely that it could happen because you're almost presenting all of your facts right from the get-go at a temporary. So it's, but even a temporary, it could take 3 months to get even to a temporary hearing.
Right.
It could take a long time. So I mean, the best thing is to, you know, the best thing I do is, again, like I said, just keep them in the loop related to time, you know, related to scheduling on all of these things, and, you know, understanding your judge. Because, again, you usually have an order at this point. So you know who the judge is. We know all the judges' calendars. We know which ones are scheduling out, you know, a year away for a trial right now. There's financial disclosures that have to happen. Mm-hmm. So there's timelines just from the financials part. The courts will make you mediate. All the good mediators, again, all the attorneys know they should know the schedules for that. So there is, it's a lot of waiting. It's very, it's,
It is a lot of waiting.
But the best thing is to, again, like I said, I think it's just knowing the time frame and putting those expectations up front related to how long it's going to take to get in front of this specific judge, how long it's going to take to get in front of this specific mediator that's been agreed upon to try to resolve all the issues.
Okay, so now let's talk about this, because I did not say this one when we talk about the facts that we like, but I know you're going to like this one. Your ex, he already moved somewhere else and didn't get permission. And now you want to go move. Okay, let's talk about that, because I think that is helpful.
It is absolutely. That's another good one. You're right. That would be, that's another perfect ideal one, because those never come across. But again, those rarely come across. But no, that would be another ideal situation where the dad's already gone. That would be amazing. But two wrongs don't make a right. So I always say that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, because then what happens in the situation? I mean, what happens? Yeah, he moved, but his entire family still lives here, and he's still effectuating his entire time sharing as the two of you have agreed. He might have only had like every other weekend, or, you know, like 1 week a month or something, and he's still doing it. So there's certain things, again, like I said, it's so fact specific that just because he's left, it doesn't mean anything, because he could be gone on military orders. His home could still be here. Florida could still continue to be his address. He could just be a training or something, you know, for a job, or he's doing some sort of training of somebody else for a specific job and he's coming back. So fact specific. But yes, if he has permanently relocated and now you want to, you're definitely going to be in a better position to relocate. Yeah. And, you know, because most likely it's going to be hopefully it's somewhere closer to where he is even.
Or even if not, at least it's, you know, and that's why I wanted to say that, because that happens a lot, right? Like the men do whatever the heck they want and then say that they do it all the time. But then, but you can't go. You can't do anything. And, you know, if that has happened, it's still a process. We still, like Anna said, don't just go. Like, you know, you want to do it the right way, because it changes child support. It changes the schedule. And, you know, maybe now he's driving and the kids have to spend 4 hours in the car every other on the way, like on a Friday and on a Sunday. And that's not in their best interest. But he's saying, well, I moved, but I'm still doing this. So, again, that's why it is not on any of these cases, you know, a blanket answer. There's so many questions that we have to ask, and we have to, and sometimes even, you know, we'll meet and we'll think, well, I think you're kind of close, but we think these things would be more helpful. So it's a, maybe you not now. Maybe it's like you need to get some more things in order.
Absolutely.
Order to support, and then we'll think we have a better chance.
Absolutely. And that happens a lot, right? I mean, like I've had, you know, well, why do you, you know, well, I just want to, you know, okay, well, let's see. Can you get a job there? You know, I mean, like, does your field, in this type of field that you're in, is there jobs available in that location? You know, what about family, you know, friends? Have you ever even visited this place with your child? Yeah. You know, how far away is it going to be for dad? You know, even if he's relocated. So absolutely, I think it still becomes so fact specific, and it becomes so important to still have a written agreement, or, you know, consent order, or an order from the court before you do something like that. Because again, like I said, you don't do something right, the judge is gonna make you come back. Not him, he's not the majority time sharing parent. Now, is the judge gonna say, oh, that's okay that you did that? No, but like, it doesn't give you the right to leave. It doesn't equate to you being able to leave.
Correct. And that's the thing. It's definitely not worth it. It's not worth it to do that to yourself, your child, and it's not worth it. You gotta go about this. It's very rare we're gonna say go do something against court order anyway, but this one's a big one that can really impact you for a long time. But I can't believe we're almost at the end. Anna, this has been a great conversation. You and I are good talkers about the law, so that happens a lot. But before we go, Anna, our show, you know, as you know, is called Women Winning Divorce, and I would love if you could share what winning at life means to you.
Well, winning at life for me means being happy, whole-rounded at home, at work, and in your personal relationships. I think that is what winning at life means to me. I think that when you're happy in your workplace, when you're happy at home with your family, when you're happy in your personal self, your mental self, I don't think anything, you know, you can face anything.
That's awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And of course, lastly, our listeners can find you, Anna, at floridawomenslawgroup.com.
That's right. I'm there.
All righty. Well, we have reached the end of our show today. Thank you so much, Anna Durstein, for joining us to discuss what it really takes to relocate with your child legally, how to prepare, prove, and protect your relocation case, and what happens when things go wrong or weren't done correctly from the start. Thank you so much.
Of course. I had a great time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Listeners, if you or someone you know in the Northeast Florida area is going through or even thinking about divorce, you're not alone. Taking that first step can feel overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. Our newsletter is filled with actionable advice tailored to guide you through this process. By signing up, you'll gain the tools to face the unknown with courage and see if we're the right fit to support you during this life-changing time. Don't wait. Click the link in the show notes, fill out the form, and take the first step toward building a brighter future today.
This podcast is for informational and entertainment purposes only and is not an advertisement for legal services. The information provided on this podcast is not intended to be legal advice. If you have a legal issue, please contact an attorney in your local jurisdiction. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests are solely those of the individuals and do not represent the views or opinions of the firms or organizations with which they are affiliated. This podcast is available for private, non-commercial use only. Any editing, reproduction, or redistribution of this podcast for commercial use or monetary gain without the expressed written consent of the podcast's creator is prohibited.